The youth will stay here. I see you trying to sneak out. The youth will be here this morning.
Could you speak up? I can hear you.
Yes, sir.
Get closer.
You're going to regret that. Well, good morning. I'm going to be in Hebrews. We're going to start with Hebrews. You can go to Hebrews chapter 3. Right now, my theme has been on being followers. Christianity really is about following. Christianity is about being followers. We are disciples. We're disciples. We're disciples of Jesus. Amen. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We're followers of Paul because Paul says he's a follower of Christ. Christianity is about being followers. Christ makes that clear. He says that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Christianity is about. It's about being followers of Jesus Christ. So that's very clear what Christianity is about. Christianity is about, it's about giving up our own life, forsaking all that we have to follow him. That's what Christianity is about. And Paul makes this very clear in many places. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Christianity is about following. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Christianity is about replicating faith. It's about following others in the faith that they have followed. It's about following those that have come before us that have followed Jesus Christ. We are ultimately followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about following. So that is my overall theme, is the theme of following. Our Christianity is based on following the examples and following even the followers, as Paul says here. But the specific example I want to be looking at right now is that we are called to follow after their faith. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're followers of their faith. We follow them and we follow their faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." This is the example that we are to follow. One of the examples that we're to follow, one of the things we should be followers of, is we should follow faith. We should follow the faith of those that have come before us, those that have given us the word. We are to follow their faith. And the example of faith that we see in the Bible is the one we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to be following the example of faith that they demonstrated to us in the Bible. So we are followers of faith. And that is what I want to speak on today. I want to speak about following faith. I want to speak about faith. And how we can follow, imitate those that had faith. And we need to follow their faith. So it begins by receiving the Word of God. Faith begins by receiving the Word of God. The Word of God has to come to you so that you can then follow in faith. It depends on that. Faith begins with the Word of God. Faith isn't believing your own ideas. Faith isn't just coming up with your own thoughts and believing your own ideas. Faith isn't trusting your feelings. And a lot of times that is what a lot of people want to consider faith, is they feel something and they feel that way and they just say that's faith. It's not believing or considering or following your feelings. Faith is in the Word of God. And it has to be based on the Word of God. Some people think that the more wacky an idea is, the more faith that person has. And that's seen many religions. They're wanting to get the most wackiest idea that they are and prove that they have the most faith because their ideas are the most wackiest. And they think that is more faith. You show more faith, the more superstitious your faith seems, the stronger your faith is. But see, none of that is what faith is. None of that is about faith. Your feelings aren't faith. Your ideas, your own reasoning, your own imagination, none of that is faith. Because faith is based on the Word of God. You first have to receive the Word of God. And that's what Romans 10:17 says. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why is it so important for us to get the gospel out to unbelievers? This is something that is very important, and we emphasize a lot. We need to get the gospel out. We need to get the Word of God to people. They need to hear the Word. We need to get it to them. Why? Well, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. They need the Word of God. The Word of God is necessary to be able for you exercise faith. The Word of God has to be presented. Faith has to be based on the Word of God. This is why it is so important for us to get the Word of God to those that have not heard it. You see, one of the examples or one of the reasons this is on my mind is because Adi has been trying to get her grandmother who lives in Mexico, she's trying to get her to read the Bible. She's very Catholic, but Adi's just trying to get her to read the Bible. But her grandmother doesn't see that as being necessary. It's not necessary for her to read the Bible. She says that she's content in believing that God is simply going to do whatever He wants to do with her. She says, I do my best, but whatever God wants, whatever God wills, He's going to do, and I'm okay with that. That is her faith. You see where the problem with that is, right? It is not based on something that God said. That sounds beautiful. That really does sound beautiful. And it sounds like faith. It sounds so religious. And this is how many of the religions are. What they say, the way they say this, it sounds like faith. They want to make you think that the more insecure you are, and the more you trust in something that you are insecure about, that is real faith. Saying, well, I don't know, but I just trust the Lord to do whatever He wants. That's not faith. Faith is based on what God has spoken to us. And that is very important. Paul, at the beginning of Hebrews, makes this point very clear. He says, God has spoken in many ways, in many different times, in many different ways. But in these last days, how has He spoken to us? He's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. God has spoken through the Son. And that's so important. Why? Because the only way we can have faith is by receiving the Word of God spoken to us. God has told us who He is through His Word. God has told us what He has done through His Word. God has told us through His Word, He makes known to us His will, and His promises are given to us through His Word. This is what we have in the Word of God. We know who God is because He has said it. He has given it to us. That is His Word. And that is the only way faith can start. It cannot start apart or aside from the Word of God. It can't start aside from having the Word of God. You cannot get faith. In fact, our faith is so dependent on the Word of God that Paul even says that even if an angel from heaven comes and speaks to you something different, he is not to be trusted. He's not somebody you should just believe and trust. He's somebody that should be cursed. Because our faith has to be based on what is written. It has to be based on what has been given to us by God. Our faith is dependent upon that. So if we want to follow the faith of these great men that have given us the word, if we want to follow the faith, which is what we try to do as Christians, that is what Christianity is about, following. And if we're going to follow their faith, we have to recognize that it first and foremost comes from the Word of God. It has to begin at the Word of God. That is where faith begins. So faith begins at the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we cannot say we have faith. But after the Word of God has come to you, which this is the first point, the Word of God has to come to you. That's why it is so important for us to get the Word of God out, because the Word of God needs to come to you. But after the Word of God has come to you, it must be believed. And that is what faith is. Faith is, once the Word of God comes to you, is presented to you, you believe it. Hebrews chapter 3, oh, you can turn there if you want. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19 explains this. He says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. So he's making it clear that after the word has come to you, it is necessary. It's a must. You have to believe it. How are you going to inherit and receive these promises? This is what we read, right? Those follow them who by faith and patience have inherited the promises. How does that happen? How can you and I receive and inherit the promises? By believing what has been spoken to us. That is faith. By believing what we have received. If you do not believe, then you do not have faith. You have unbelief, and that is why they could not enter in. That's what he's explaining. In verse 6, he says the same thing. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Faith is when you believe that word that you have been given. So faith is taking God at his word.
Amen.
That is what faith is. God has given you his word, and you have to believe that word. You take him at his word.
There you go.
Amen.
That is what faith is. And that is the example we are given that we must follow after. We follow after that example. We are believing in who he says he is. We are believing that what he says is true, no matter our opinion. See, that's what faith is. That's what believing in him is that even though our opinion may differ, we may not like what is being said, we may not agree with what is being said, but when we know that this is him, this is what he said, we believe what he says. What he says is true, no matter our opinion. Let's look at one of these examples of faith. Matthew chapter 15. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus Christ points out a great faith. Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So she obviously had heard the word, and she went looking for him. She had heard of the son of David, the Lord. She had heard of his power. And so she was seeking after him. But he answered her not a word, it says. He ignored her. That's what it says. And his disciples had to come and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, just to make sure we're understanding this story clear, there's no warm, fuzzy feeling here going on. This lady is not feeling, oh, the loving arms that are wrapping around her by the Lord. She is feeling ignored. She is having to scream, and Jesus Christ is consciously ignoring her. Then, in verse 25, she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now that is a hard saying. That is a hard saying of Jesus Christ. It is not meet to cast it unto dogs, he says. If anyone ever thought they had an argument against some of the words that Jesus spoke, I'm sure this is one of those times. She could, but do you see what did she do? Did she start arguing against Jesus Christ and his word? Did she start arguing his point? No. Look at what it says. And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see that? That is great faith. Jesus Christ points out, this is great faith. What was great faith? Jesus said, "It's not meet for me to give it to dogs." And she did not contend his word. She did not fight. She did not argue. She did not rebel. She did not start doubting and fighting against him according to what he had said. She did not do that. She actually accepted what he said. When it was really hard to accept.
Amen.
Have you ever been called a dog?
A few times.
It's not nice things to hear. That's not a pleasant word. See, our faith isn't in what we like.
Right.
Oh, well, we like this part. Oh, well, we like that. Yes, we take here and there what we like. That is not faith. Faith is God said this. You like it or not, that is what he said, and you have to decide whether you're going to believe it or not. This lady, when she heard this, she did not rebel against him. She did not argue his point. She did not argue his words. She said, "Truly, Lord, what you say is true. What you say is right. What you say, I believe." That is faith. And that's the same faith that we have to exercise. It's the same faith. It's no different. We have to take God at his word. We follow the example of those that made the word of God their authority. We're following their example. And their example, the example we have of these people is they took God at his word. So much so that they took the word of God, what he said, they took it as authority. Not as a suggestion, not as this is an opinion. They took it as the authority. The word that they had became their authority. Now that is faith. That's faith. But you see, one of the tragedies, you could say, in Christianity, modern Christianity, at least American Christianity, is that the trust in the Bible has been minimized. Faith is no longer to take the Word of God as his authority. You see, that's the problem with all the arguments, all the argumentation over which version is the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of argument over what version of the Word of God. And all that is producing is that it creates doubts.
Right.
And that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about trying to doubt the Word of God. Christianity is recognizing God has given us a Word and we're going to believe it. Now, look, there's a lot of argumentations, and you can argue for this, and you can argue for that, and we can all argue until we're blue in the face. And believe me, that's happening. Right now, there's a whole lot of arguing going on about what version is correct, and what version is this, and what version is that. And I'm not interested in criticizing versions of the Bible, but we can't help but observe the fact. Well, my question is, why is there greater skepticism of the Bible now than when there was no printers? See, now that we have printers, we can actually have copies, word for word, exact copies of a word. But now that that is possible, there's more skepticism of the Bible amongst Christians than in the days of the apostles, when that's not how it was. And yet they didn't have that skepticism. They were able to say the word that we have is the Word of God. So why is that? So again, the danger in all these, the version debate and the new versions and all that isn't necessarily what they say. The danger is that they're simply not believed. And that's the danger. If you want to say, hey, this is the Word of God, this is the Word that God gave me, and I'm going to believe it, I'm going to believe everything it says, go on. That's what Christianity is about. Take that Word that is from God that has been given to you and say, I believe it. And that's what we need to do. We can't take what we like only. We can't take a few points that we like. You want to follow Paul like he followed Christ? Well, they took the word that they had received and they made it their authority. You know what Jesus did when he was being tempted, right? In his temptation, Jesus said, "It is written." What was he doing when he says, it is written? He was taking that as the authority that he had, that he followed. He was saying, it is written, and that is what I'm sticking by. And he said that in every temptation that is mentioned there. It is written. You know, that's what Paul said? What saith the scripture? That's Paul's argument. That is Paul's point. His faith was, what does the scripture say? So what is our, what do we do now? Do we live amongst confusion? Where we're just, well, I don't know what's God's words. There's so many different versions out there. Yeah, there's so many different versions out there. Hey, get some arguments, find out which one is the best, and whatever you come up with, if you say that's the Word of God, then you have to come to the point to say, that's what I'm taking, and I'm sticking with it. All I'm trying to say about this is we have to beware of the spirit of rebellion. Because it's very easy to be rebellious. Because we don't like something and it's easy to rebel against it. And when we're amongst all the different possible versions and disbelief about the Bible that there is, it is very easy for us to just live in disbelief, unbelief. Rebellion. Our faith is based on believing the Word. John 20, I'll just read it. We know it. Jesus says unto him, it's Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have the blessing of being able to believe, to simply believe. Again, all the arguments we could give, what is expected of us is to believe. You know, Thomas, he should have believed. He had witnesses. They were telling him about it. They explained it to him. Thomas should have believed. But he had to wait till he saw Jesus to believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those that don't have to see to believe, that they simply believe when the word is given to them.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We think, no, I have to see. You have to make it clear. Show me without a shadow of a doubt that this and this and this and all the doubts they can cast on the Bible. Believe me, there's many people that can cast many doubts on the Bible. Oh, we can argue it all day long. But if you're waiting to see that everything is perfect, everything placed in front of you, then you're not expecting to believe and have faith. You're expecting to see. You have to believe what has been reported to you. The evidence is there anyway. There's evidence there. The only thing that's missing is that you need to accept that God's word is his word. So we can all hear the arguments and see the evidence, but the fact is, the fact is, we don't understand ancient Greek. I don't know if anybody does. And even if we did, would that solve anything? No, because we don't have the ink and the script with which Paul wrote his letters and with which Peter wrote his letters. We don't have those original documents. The actual ones they actually, we don't have that. So is there ever going to be any non-shadow of a doubt, any evidence that is just going to be right placed in front of you and you can say, there it is. The best you have is what you already have. The best you have, hey, you have a lot of evidence. God is giving you a lot of evidence. It's been placed in your lap. A lot of people have died to give you that evidence. They died. That is exactly what faith is. They believed what they had. And God has given you the Word of God. It may not be exactly what somebody else has. It may not be what exactly some other country has. But he's given you what he's given you. And you have to decide whether you believe it or not. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to you just deciding whether what you have is authority or not.
Amen.
You either believe or you don't. Now, I don't believe, or we don't believe the Bible because of what it says. We believe the Bible because it's the Bible. In other words, we're not looking through the Bible to see, okay, well, if I agree with it, then I'll believe it's the Bible. That makes us the ones who decide what the Word of God is, instead of God deciding what he wants to give us. So 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, this is what we do. We trust the word that is given to us. We trust the report that we have received, because this is what we are. We're disciples. We're followers. We have to follow something. We follow the report that we've been given. We're followers. And if we can't take the Bible, the Word of God, as our authority, then we're no longer disciples. We've made ourselves the masters. If we can't take God's authority on it, if we can't say, this Bible is my authority, then we're not followers. We're the ones that are now making the decisions. Acts 2:42. See, again, we have to follow what we have been given. This is the point. This is the point of faith. This is the point of belief, is we follow what we have received, the Word of God. And this is what the apostles gave us. It says, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. See, we are not apostles. And it's not our word that matters. It's the word of the apostles that matters. It is the doctrine that they gave us, because they're the ones with the special revelation from God, which were authorized by God to give us commandments of and from God. And it's up to us to decide whether we believe that or not, because that's what we are. We are followers. We're Christians. We're disciples. Ephesians 2:20 shows us this. He says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We are followers of the apostles' doctrines. They are the ones that the foundation is built upon. They are the ones that were witnesses of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 5, and 6 says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It was revealed unto the prophets and unto the apostles. It was revealed unto them. And so what is it? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to wait for a special revelation, a special knowledge that God is going to come and give us in the night while we're sleeping? No. What's ours to do is to follow the faith of those that have come before us, which is to believe the word that has been spoken to us. That's what Christianity is about. That's what faith is. Believing the word that has been given to us. And so they are the ones who give testimony of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who give testimony of the word of God. And so we are to believe the word of God. So that is the second point of having faith and following the faith that we see exemplified in the Bible. It's that we are to believe the word. We receive the word is given to us, and then we believe that word. That is the example that we have. And the third point would be that we live the word of God. We receive the word of God, we believe the word of God, and the example that we have of those men are that they lived the word of God. Because that is what faith does. Faith produces action. Faith is that when you believe, that is going to show on an outward way. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh boy, you're sick, yeah, and you have a really bad sickness, and he gives you a little blue pill or a red pill or whatever, and he says, take this and you'll get better. Now if you go home and look at that red pill, and you could say, well, what's going to happen if you believe what the doctor told you? You're going to take it. It's going to produce an action, because what you believe is going to manifest itself in an outward action. And that is what happens when we follow the faith of those that came before us. What we see in their faith is that it produced action. They didn't just say they believed the word. They lived the word. They lived by the word. And that's what happens when you make the word your authority. You live by it. Because that's what happens when you're under authority. You live by the word. You know, the word of God should be our desire. Job 23:12. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know, this is the example that we have of those who had great faith, is that they esteemed God's word above their necessary food. They loved the word of God. And that's what Christ is saying when he says that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, do you love the word? That is following the faith. We love the word. The word should be loved. The word should be our desire. We should be full of the word. We should desire the word. Meditate upon the word. The word of God should be the center of the Christian's universe. The word of God. We should revolve around it. It should be what we desire. It should be what we talk about. It should be what we love to talk about. And it's only going to happen if we truly believe it. We make it our authority. We believe it, and that's why we can make it everything to us. Because we actually believe it is what it says it is. The Word of God. If you really believe it's the Word of God, we would love it. And we should love it. And that is the example we should follow after. And that's why he says that we shouldn't slack off. We shouldn't be slothful. We shouldn't slack off. We should follow the example of the men of faith that we have seen before us. You know, it should be applied to our life. That is what we see. It should be applied to our life. And if we take, how can we apply the Bible? How can we apply the Word of God to our life if we don't take it as our authority?
Right.
See, that's where the rubber meets the road. We can't apply it to our life in a real way if we don't really believe that it is our authority. How can you be willing to change your life if you don't really take the Word of God as your authority? You can't. You see, whenever we actually believe the Word of God, we believe it, we have faith, then we make it our authority and we are willing to change our life. We're willing to change our mind. We're willing to change what we do according to what He says.
Amen.
Even when we don't like it. And that's the example that we had. Even when we don't like it. How are you going to change the way you live in marriage if you don't believe that what the Bible says about marriage is authoritative to you? And it comes down to this in every point of our life. You see, we have the Word of God for us in our life. But if we don't take it as authoritative, if we don't believe it, then how are we going to expect that it's going to change our life? He tells us how we need to be as parents. He tells us how we need to be as children. He tells us how we need to be in church. And Paul says how the church needs to be conducted and how it needs to go. He actually says, this is the commandment of the Lord. The words that I write unto you. But if we don't take those as words of the Lord, how are we going to apply it to our life? We can't. If our attitude as Christians is, well, I prefer this one or this one is sometimes better, how is that going to produce a real change in our life? It's not going to. And the fact is that if your life is not changing, it's because you're not taking it as your authority. We're not loving it and allowing it to change us. And we all have to wake up because we all have areas that we need to work on.
Amen.
And we need to work on them because we're probably just not really completely taking it as authoritative over us. And we all have areas, like I said, we need to work on. You know, our confidence is in the Word.
Yes.
And it's in the Word's authority.
Yes.
We have no confidence outside of that. What is our confidence outside of God's authority? What confidence do you have in anything? Do you have confidence in your salvation outside of God's authority that He has given you, His Word? Do you have any confidence? No. I have no confidence. I have no confidence in my works. I have no confidence in my reasoning. I have no confidence in my ability. I have no confidence in anything. If I can't just trust what He said, I have no confidence.
Right.
How do we have confidence in preaching? You see, these men that came before us, great preachers, how could they have confidence? Well, it's because they took the word of God as the authoritative word. And that's how you can have confidence. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Hallelujah.
We have to take it as the authority or not. Amen. How are we going to live?
Amen.
How are we going to run the church? How are we going to run our lives? How are we going to do it if it is not the authority to us?
Amen.
It's profitable for doctrine. Where are we going to get our doctrine from? We have to believe that the Word of God is where we get our doctrine from.
Amen.
Even if it doesn't sound like something we like or we agree with, we get it from the Word of God because it is the Word of God. It's profitable for reproof. Boy, that's hard to do. You have to reprove somebody. You have to reprove yourself. You have to reprove. Sometimes reproof has to be done in the church. Sometimes your wife has to reprove you. How can we do that with confidence? The only way we can do it with confidence is knowing that this is the Word of God, and we've taken it as our authority, and we can go to somebody and say, "Look, the Bible says." Because without that, we don't have confidence. Without that, it's one dummy arguing against another dummy.
That's true.
We have to come to the point, well, we believe that what God says is the authority.
Yes.
It's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All this needs and has to be taken as God's authority for this to be able to be done with confidence.
Right.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, Paul says, preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. Boy, that's pretty good. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, what Paul exhorts Timothy to do, he says, listen, what's going to happen is people are going to want teachers. People are going to want people that come in and know they're very scholarly and they're very wise and they can give you all these things and say all these things and teach you and bewilder you and make you so wow. And hey, this is what Paul said in Galatians. They were bewitched. Who hath bewitched you? Oh, there's a whole lot of teachers that can bewitch you with their amazing abilities of speech. But Paul gives us a solution to that.
Yeah.
Paul gave Timothy a solution to that. He said, preach the word.
Amen.
That was his solution. So can you trust your Bible?
Amen.
Well, yes. Can you trust the word of God that you have in your hands?
Amen.
Well, that's what Christians do. If you can't do that, then what are we? If we can't trust the word that has been given to us, that's what Christians do. Christians believe God. Christians follow what we have received. We receive God's word, we believe God's word, and we live God's word. That is Christianity. We follow people like Paul. We follow people like Peter. We follow the testimony, we follow the examples, we follow what we have written down in the scripture because we are following Christ.
Amen.
And this is the testimony of Christ that we have. And that's what Christianity is about. We follow Christ.
Amen.
So let's follow the faith of those that have given us the word and let's receive the word and believe it and live it. Because that's Christianity.
Hey.